Lord, please open the word to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and please speak to us what's on your heart. And we want to pray for the sick today also, in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Peter. Now, Second Thessalonians. I'm going to do a bunch of weird things like that. Second Thessalonians, look at chapter 3 and look at verse 5. You all got it? Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. As you know, church, I don't do too many topical messages mostly with you. I just do the next chapter, the next chapter. That's my modus operandi, you know, Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3. But the subject of my heart today is perseverance. May the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. The perseverance of Jesus Christ. In what way did Jesus persevere? Well, we will read in chapter 12 that he persevered to the cross and died on the cross for us. And as we give our lives to him, he wants in us and he gives to us that quality of perseverance. The word for perseverance is the Greek word hupomone, and it means to keep going even though you're going through trials, even though there's a weight crushing down on you, even though there's adversity, you keep going anyway. It's easy to keep going when everything's easy. It's hard to keep going when there's adversity. But the word perseverance means to continue even when there's adversity. On your outline, on the back of your bulletin, would you look at that? You will notice five categories. Persevering in the word. Persevering in prayer. Persevering in fellowship. Persevering in faith. And persevering in love. I want so much for this church to grow. I'd like to see us really grow. I'd like to see God use us. I was looking up the definition of the word breakthrough. Would you like to hear what a breakthrough is? A breakthrough is an offensive thrust that penetrates and carries beyond the defensive line in warfare. In other words, instead of just being defensive, a breakthrough is where you go through and you're on the offensive and you get to the other side. I believe, and I say this by faith on this December 31st, 2017, I believe that the Lord wants to give us breakthrough. But first, in order for him to give us breakthrough as a church, we have to be faithful. That's the hard part. The good news is he wants to give us a breakthrough. The difficult part is he expects us to persevere. And you guys have. You have. I'm preaching to the choir today. You're all here on a day when there's a lot going on and you could be somewhere else. You're here. Persevering. Persevering in fellowship. That's a third item on the list. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews 10. Verse 23, Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So a question is the coming of Jesus getting closer? The second coming, does anybody think that the day of the Lord is closer? Okay, well, it is, by the way. And as we see the day approaching, all the more we are to be in fellowship. The word for fellowship is a Greek word koinonia. It means to share spiritual things with each other. and it means to come together. So God wants us to remain consistent. He says, some are in the habit of not going to fellowship. That's a bad habit. He says, but instead get together all the more as the day draws near. So it should be our ambition for 2018 to be on time and to be steady. To come to church on time and to be steady. And I'm not saying that in some legalistic way. Like, if you're not here, I'm going to make a checklist. That would be ridiculous. But we want to honor the Lord by being steadfast in fellowship. Persevering in fellowship. Look at the list here. Persevering in the Word. I'll go back to the top. You need to resolve in 2018 that no matter what, you're going to remain in the Word of God. You're going to persevere in the Word of God. That means what? I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to read the Scripture. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to seek the Lord in the Scripture. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that is blown away. So God says, if you will stay in the Word, you will be like a tree planted by the water. You will be fruitful. You will bear fruit in season. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. A working man who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are all called to be good students of the Word of God. So number one, we as a church, number one, need to persevere in the Word of God. And as I said, I went to item three. We need to persevere in fellowship. In the coming year, I don't know what a day will bring forth, but if I should live and breathe, the plan is next week, beginning next week, we have two chapters left in the book of Acts. Remember the book of Acts, anybody? We're going to finish it. You know why? Because God is glorified when we finish what we start. So we're going to finish the book of Acts and summarize what we learned from there. The book of Acts has been speaking to us about missions, 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 soul winning. We want to finish it. Lord willing, after that, I have two topical messages that I want to share with you. One is on cults, recognizing that groups like Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian Science are a cult, and being wise to the cults. One Sunday I'd like to talk about that. And then another thing that's very much on my heart is to talk about creation versus evolution. It is very important that every one of us be able to defend why we believe creation. There is pressure. We just watched the video yesterday. There is pressure to compromise and to say, well, maybe God did make the world in billions of years through evolution. And the moment you do that, you weaken your faith. The moment you compromise to that, you no longer take the story of Adam and Eve literally. Your faith is in jeopardy. Because Jesus confirmed the account of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I am a young earth creationist and comfortable there. So we need to persevere in the truth. And then, Lord willing, after that, I'd like to see us go into the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a great book. So what's the outline, Pastor Roger? Finish Acts, talk about cults, talk about creation, and get into Hebrews. Persevere in the Word in 2018. Persevere in the Word. But not just as a church. We need to persevere individually in the Word by reading the Word. And I would urge you, gently, beseech you. God, the creator of the universe, is worthy of your time. Take your Bible, put a bookmark in it, and be steadfast in seeking the Lord in the Word every day. If you prefer evening devotions, go for it. I prefer morning. I love to start the day with the Lord. The Scripture tends to speak of seeking the Lord in the morning. The very word for seek in the Hebrew means early and diligently. Cup of coffee in the Bible. Cup of tea in the Bible. Start the day with Jesus. My wife's father, who passed away this last year, and her mother, who's still living and loves Jesus very much, they were avocado farmers. And when we suggested they start reading the Bible every day, he said, "I get up too early to do that. I'm a farmer." And I said, "Well, Dad, this is why God invented alarm clocks. Set the clock 30 minutes early, get into the Word, and then go do your farming." Guess what? They listened to their son-in-law, and they did it for their whole life. They've done it for years and years and years. Mom still talks about it. Jan's mother, she considers me her pastor. She still listens to my tapes. What a blessing. But she decided that the old pastor was right, or the young one in this case. The morning devotions were important. Being in the Word is important. I would urge you, not in order to earn your salvation, of course not, but in order to have a healthy relationship in 2018, resolve that you are going to take some time to be a regular student of the Word. Chuck, you've talked about it. You've done it. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, what it does? It changes things. It's like you do anything for 3 weeks, it's an addiction. Did you know that? Anything that you do 3 consecutive weeks is an addiction. So try reading the Word in the morning for 3 weeks. You'll never want to not do it again. It's like getting dressed. You know, you'll feel naked if you don't do it. In season and out of season. In season and out. In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Church, dear church, we are in the last days. Spiritual warfare is ratcheted up. You get that? It's not necessarily going to be easy. But it will be if you choose to stay close to Jesus. There's a lot of deception. The enemy, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of darkness in high places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Take the helmet of salvation and take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. You're in spiritual warfare. So am I. You say, "Well, I want to be neutral. I'm just a quiet, gentle person." Well, that's good, but you're still in spiritual warfare. You're a Christian? You're born again? You're in spiritual warfare. And together we are a family. And I'm not saying that because I'm fearful of the adversary. He's been defeated by Jesus Christ at the cross. Jesus Christ defeated Satan at the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Whosoever believes has eternal life. But we are in a battle. And evolution is a huge lie. It's just affected our children, our colleges. We need to be persevering in the Word, continuing in the Word. In Timothy, it says, in the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will find teachers to give them what their itching ears want to hear. Oh, tell me something that sounds good, Pastor. Tell me something that I want to hear. Don't make it hard. Don't tell me there's going to be sacrifice involved. You see? Perseverance in the Word. Number two on my outline today is perseverance in prayer. We need to be a church that perseveres in prayer. What does that mean? It means that every day, you need to be steadfast in prayer. The Bible actually says in Thessalonians, first it's a given there, it's in your note here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it's pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore in everything, give thanks, and pray without ceasing. I love the story of Luke chapter 18. It looks like we met at Lou, L-U-E, but put a K in there, okay? And Luke chapter 18, it says, Jesus told a parable to the effect that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. There was a certain widow who wanted justice from an unjust judge, and she kept going, "Give me justice, give me justice." And finally, the unjust judge says, "Okay, you're wearing me out. I'm going to grant your request." And Jesus says, "Listen to the unjust judge. If he will grant justice, how much more will your heavenly Father give justice to those who call out to him day and night? But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" Wow. Are we persevering in prayer? Are we persevering in prayer? That means, husbands, you take your wives and say, "Sweetheart, let's pray." And you pray for whatever concerns your life. We pray as a church for things that concern the church. Prayer is just a fancy word for talking to God. That's all it is. Prayer is just talking to God. We've been meeting at my house Saturdays at 9 a.m. for prayer. If you're not able to come, that's okay. But it's been sweet, and I'm going to keep doing it. It's just something I love it. We have the coffee out, and, you know, we 9 o'clock, well, let's pray for the church. And we devote that time primarily to praying for the church. We pray for President Trump. We pray for our city. We pray for the Jesus Center. But most of all, we devote that hour to praying for the church. And we think of your names, and we pray for you. And we as a church, if we want to see God do something, if you want to see God do something in the next year, we got to be a praying church. That's just our part. And that means, you know, asking God to do great things. I love William Carey, the missionary to India, who said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." We have to go with expectancy. I was talking to two and Lisa, who are not two of two and Jessica, who are not here today. And I get my twos confused. And he talked about daring to ask God for great things. Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still. And we come and we're afraid to ask him to heal our cough or something. We need to dare to ask God. Elijah was a man just like you, and he prayed, and it stopped raining. And then he prayed again, and it started raining. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As we are righteous in Christ, our prayers have great influence if we pray according to the mind of the Spirit. And so, Janet and I will go, I know you guys pray. We go, "Lord, we pray for our children, our grandchildren. We pray for our health. We pray for our finances. We pray for this, that. And this is what we need to do. And you guys need to pray. We need to pray for your church. You should daily pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Paul asked for prayer. I'm not ashamed to ask for prayer. Pray for me. Pray for those in leadership. If that's biblical, we're supposed to do it. So we persevere in the word, we persevere in prayer, and what's item three? We persevere in fellowship. I already talked about it. Do not forsake the assembling together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. Americans don't take it as seriously as they should. Americans tend to church hop. "Well, I'm going to go over here, I'll try this one," and it's like, you know, "I'm going to eat at a different restaurant today," and God wants us to be consistent in fellowship. I don't mean to be harsh today. Maybe it's the flu or something, because in no way do I mean to be harsh. But it's important to be part of a church family. This is your family. Would you be consistent with your family? I mean, you're sitting, this is your family. You should care about your family. You go, "Yeah, I really want this church to do well because I care. I care about the spiritual health of that person and this person and that person. And I know they're struggling over there." The body of Christ is an organism. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is exalted, every part rejoices with that part. And so we need to be aware of each other. Carry one another's burdens, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that you can't do a one another unless you get together. Remember when I was in Seattle, they did a whole series on all the one another's in the Bible. Forgive one another, encourage one another, bear with one another. In order to have a one another, we have to be together. So stay in fellowship. I know that fellowship can be tiring sometimes. what's that famous saying? I don't even know if it's true, but I've heard it for years. About they said the first century church was like Noah's Ark. The only thing worse than the smell inside was the flood outside. The church can have problems. The church can have problems. But I would rather have the problems of the church than be out in the world. I want to continue in fellowship. And so we need to be continuing in fellowship. Persevering in faith, Hebrews 11:6 is one of my favorite Bible verses, Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who come to him must believe that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, God, persevering in faith. Jude 20 says, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. And what builds our faith up? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. All of us are going to have our faith tested. Don't you know that? In Peter, it talks about the sufferings. You've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials so that your faith will be proved, which is more valuable than gold, will be proven genuine. God doesn't have any fair-weather friends. He has friends that persevere through trials. So even though this happened to me and this happened, I still believe. My goodness, we as a church in this year have suffered loss. With Kaylee's illness, all of us were affected. All of us were affected. A little girl having a seizure and brain damage to the most precious couple, Jeff and Lisa. That affects us all. We have to look that in the eye and say, I know that my Redeemer lives anyway. I mean, it's a faith-challenging kind of a thing. Jim Nagel went home to be with the Lord this year. We miss him. Our faith will be tested by all kinds of trials, church. But God's there. He's an ever-present help in time of need. He's given us the Comforter. We're not orphans. He's given us the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. He's here with us right now. He's in the room. Jesus is here. And he wants to work in you this morning. I know he does. And I'm just sitting here on flu medication as a goofball. But he's bigger than me. And I know he wants to work. And in this little group that we are today, he's saying, persevere, church. And he's not saying sternly like persevere. He's saying, persevere. Do you trust me that I will do something? If you simply stay at your post, what do they say? Showing up is 90%? That's an expression in the world. If you stay at your post, it's amazing what God will do. And as we say, okay, I'm going to continue in the Word, I'm going to continue in prayer, and I'm going to continue in fellowship, which means I'm going to continue in faith, I'm going to confess Christ, and I'm just going to let God do whatever he wants to do. You see, our part is faith. He does the rest. And then very importantly, at the bottom of your outline, persevering in love. John 13:34-35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. The world will know that we're Christians by the love we show for each other. Love one another, beloved. Let us love one another. Turn to Hebrews 6. I like, I'll show it to you. Hebrews 6, verse 10. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. See, God remembers what you've done. But we want you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. So you guys, you've been helping God's people. I can look around. I know which ones among you. I've seen it. You have been helping God's people. God's not unjust. He's not going to forget that. But he wants you to keep doing it. Keep doing it till the very end. That's called perseverance. I love the fact that God has a selective memory, don't you? It says, our sins and lawless acts he will remember no more. Wow. God doesn't remember my sins anymore? Someone said, don't remind him. If he's forgotten, don't remind him. But it says, but on the other hand, he will not forget the good things you've done. That's pretty, our Heavenly Father has chosen to not remember our sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But he does remember the good things that we do for his people. And we show our love for him by serving his people. If you serve people, you'll get tired. If you serve Jesus and therefore love his people, you will not get tired. If I'm trying to serve you, for that, I need to first, I'm serving you because I'm serving him. And as we serve him, we are energized. And so we are to love each other. A couple more scriptures on perseverance, and then we're going to go to prayer. Turn to Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with what? With what? Say it, somebody.
Perseverance.
Thank you. The race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We have a race to run, and it's marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. This is not the finish line. We're not there yet. Now, Paul the Apostle finished. Remember when he was in prison in 2 Timothy chapter 4? And Caesar Nero was about to cut his head off in 64 A.D.? He said, I have, now the time has come for my departure, he said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. But not only for me, but for all those who have longed for his appearing. Yeah, all right. Paul said, hey, I made it. I finished the race. And I kept the faith. I don't know if you guys are into sports very much, but I heard one guy say that the battle of faith is like a heavyweight fight. Now, when I was young, they used to have 15-round fights. They didn't go with this 10-round stuff. It was yesteryear. Muhammad Ali and Smokin' Joe Frazier. And they went 15 rounds. Bow, bow, bow. That's a long fight. The Christian life is like you're in this fight against the flesh, the devil, the world. And at the end of round 15, and the winner is, they take your hand up like this, and you go, really? You're all bruised, you know? But it's because of Jesus that we will win this race. We will finish this race. We are to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Turn to James. James is the next book to the right, book of James, chapter 1. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So trials produce hupomone, perseverance. And perseverance is part of my character development. Romans 5, you don't have to turn to it, but Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, what's tribulation? Hardship, right? Worketh perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love through the Holy Spirit. Tribulation worketh perseverance. If it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be perseverance. But because it's hard, it requires perseverance to finish it. That's what God is asking us to do. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And finally, James 5. James chapter 5. Verse 10 and 11. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job persevered in his faith despite all the suffering. And the result was God blessed him in the end more than in the beginning. There's so many other scriptures, but I don't want to bury you in scripture. Galatians chapter 6 says, in 9 and 10, do not grow weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You see, guys, the way God grows the church is we show up and he does the rest. Acts 2:42, we know that. They says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship and prayer. And it goes on to say, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. As we are steadfast in fellowship, God will add to the church. He'll grow it. It'll just happen. It'll just happen because we are doing the things that Christ has asked us to do. So, what's the definition of a breakthrough? Here it comes again. A breakthrough is an offensive thrust that penetrates and carries beyond the defensive line in warfare. By the way, there's an interesting book in the Old Testament. It's called Haggai. Okay, let's see if you can find Haggai in the Old Testament. This is a Bible drill. Raise your hand when you've got Haggai. You get the prize. First one to get Haggai. Probably going to be my wife. I've got her well trained. Darla wins. Darla's got it. Okay. Second prize. Who's got it now? Who else has Haggai? Pastor doesn't even have it yet. Okay, Janet. That's it. Thank you. I see your hands. Okay. Haggai. Janet Terrell-Ward. Is it near Jonah? Where is it? Okay. Zechariah. Haggai, right before Zechariah. Okie dokie. Haggai was one of the prophets that was encouraging the guys to build the temple. Here's the story. Israel under Solomon had gotten idolatrous. And it got so idolatrous that eventually God sent Babylon to take Judah and take it into captivity for 70 years, right? And so some of the prophets were before that. But after that 70 years, there were three prophets saying, you know what? You need to go back to Jerusalem now and build the temple again. One of those prophets was Zechariah. Another one was Malachi, actually. And another one was Haggai. And Haggai said to the people, chapter 1, look at Haggai chapter 1. He said, this is verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. If you read this chapter, and then chapter 2, look at chapter 2 of Haggai. You read this little short book. In verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw, there was only 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll tell you. The people in the time of Haggai were not concerned about the Lord's house. They were only concerned about their own house. There is a danger that we get concerned about our own career, our own house, but we have no concern about God's house. And God's house is the church of the living God. And so what it is to be committed church-wise is to actually care that, yeah, I want to see God's church built. I want to see more people get saved. I want to see more people come to Christ. And so, and there are some of you in this room that I know your priority more than your own house is God's house. I don't want to embarrass anybody and say who it is, but I mean, I just know some of you guys, you want to see the church prosper. You want to see more people come to Christ. I would hope we all would. And I would urge you guys, as we say, you know what, my priority is to help be one of those workers in building. Now, I know Jesus builds his church. I get that. But we have something to do in that picture. Jesus put it this way. He said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If you put me first, I'll take care of everything you need. If you prioritize the things that are my priority, I will take care of all of your needs. And he said, from the time you begin to build God's house and lay that foundation, from that time forward, your life will be blessed. From the day that Janet and I decided to follow Christ as missionaries, everything in our life has been supplied generously. Because we weren't seeking the material things, we were seeking the Lord's purpose. And if you seek the Lord's purpose, he'll take care of you. You cannot outgive God. So we as a church need to make our number one priority the church. My heart belongs to Jesus. I want to see his church do well. And so that's what the book of Haggai is about, the rebuilding of the second temple. So today's message is perseverance. When I was in the Philippines for 13 years, the heat, the pollution, the cockroaches, more cockroaches. We were robbed at least 3 times. Manila was such a crowded place. Today, Manila, by the way, is it got the greatest density per square kilometer in the world. Parts of Manila, like Tondo and so forth, have more people per square kilometer than any other place in the world. We didn't catch all that, but we were there. And the traffic and all that, the heat, the power would go out for hours and hours. We call them blackouts, they call them brownouts. The water, you have to take bucket showers and store it up because we would not have good water pressure, so you'd take bucket showers. And the days went by slowly. On a good day, you could go to the shopping mall to cool down because the air conditioner was working. Here I am at Calvary Chapel of Manila, and I'm going, and I'm playing chess games when I can or whatever to see, you know. I like the church, the good people. And I would go, "Lord, what are you teaching me here? What are you teaching me here?" And he would say, "Perseverance." Then later I would go, "Lord, what are you teaching me?" And he would go, "Perseverance." I go, "But Lord, that was the same thing last time and the time before." And it would be like, "Yeah, that's why it's called perseverance." It's not that God didn't say anything else to me. He would. But so much of the Christian life is just perseverance. God's saying, "I've given you a task to do. Stay on task. Finish it." Paul wrote to Archippus in the book of Colossians. He said, "See to it that you complete the work you've been given in the Lord." And until God releases me from this post, I'm not going anywhere by his grace. And as we persevere, who knows what he will do? This is just a sleepy little December 31st day. What does he have for us in 2018? I don't know. But I believe, I would like to see us get our own facility. Nothing is impossible for God. I'd like to see us have a greater impact in our community. And that's my hope. That's called breakthrough. But in the meantime, breakthrough only occurs if we persevere. That's the message to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, a very simple message that you are asking us to persevere. That word appears in the Bible so many times. Hupomone, I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing the Greek right, but it means to persevere, to continue, despite hardship. And I know there are so many in this room that have continued in their faith despite many hardships. And I pray your blessing on them, Lord, for all of us, that we would not grow weary in doing well. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would now grant to us that spirit of perseverance as a church, and that we would then see what the Bible called in the Old Testament, Baal Perizim, Father, the Lord of the breakthrough. We would see you break through and allow us to do greater things. Not that it would be us, it would be you. Reaching more people in Chico, California. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our city. Lord, I go down to the Jesus Center. I believe that we're in the last days. I look at what's happening. The harvest is great. The workers are few, Father. We pray for more workers for the harvest field. And I pray that we as a church would be given breakthrough to be healthier and stronger and in every way. Lord, only you can build your church. Only you can. But you're asking us to persevere in our faith. So may you grant that it is so, that we would be a church known for a faith that expresses itself through love. I pray for your people, all of us, will stay in the Word. We'll stay in the Word. We'll stay in prayer. And we'll stay in fellowship in the coming year. Thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to pray.